Okay, vocabulary. Shlokardhena pravakshami.
Shlokardhena pravakshami.
Yaduktam krantakotibhi.
Yaduktam krantakotibhi.
Brahma satyam jagannitya.
Brahma satyam jagannitya.
Jivo brahmaiva naparaha.
Jivo brahmaiva naparaha.
Shlokardhena pravakshami.
Shlokardhena pravakshami.
Yaduktam krantakotibhi.
Yaduktam krantakotibhi.
Brahma satyam jagannitya.
Brahma satyam jagannitya.
Jivo brahmaiva naparaha.
Jivo brahmaiva naparaha.
Shloka ardhena pravakshami yat uktam grantha koti bihi. Grantha koti bihi. Brahma satyam jagat mitya jivaha brahma eva na aparaha. Shloka ardhena. Ardha means half. By half a shloka, by half a verse. Pravakshami. I will tell. In English you say, I will tell in half a verse. Shloka ardhena pravakshami. Pravakshami is future. First person singular. I will tell in half a verse. Yad uktam. That which uktam is said. Right? From Vach Simprasaranam. Yad uktam, that which is said. Granta kotibhi, by crores of books, of texts. Granta is a text.
Yeah.
Koti is how many thousand? It's a crore.
A crore.
By crores of books, by crores of texts. I'll tell you in half a verse. that which is told, that which is said, yad uktam, by crores of books, in crores of books. Okay? By crores of books. In other words, we go on and on and on about what is I can tell you in half a verse. Brahma satyam, Paramadharya. Brahma is the truth. Brahman is satyam. Brahma satyam, Paramadharya. Brahman is satyam. Satyam means that which cannot be negated in past, present, or future. That which is real. Brahman is real. Brahman is the truth. Means Brahman. And the truth means what? Or reality means what? That which cannot be negated in past, present, or future. So you can say it positively. Swamiji prefers to say it negatively. That which cannot be negated in past, present, or future. You can also say that which is there in past, present, and future. It means that which is changeless. It's not subject to time.
Why is there a preference for the negative?
I don't know.
Okay.
Brahma satyam, because it means that which is. It's not negatable. Maybe that's... Jagan, the jagat, the creation, is mitya. Mitya is an indeclinable. The jagat, the universe, the creation, is mitya. Mitya is that which... You can two ways of defining it. One is sadasad bhyam anirvachaniya, that which cannot be categorized as real, as sat, or as asat, total non-existence. That's mitya. Also, that which is dependent for its being on something else, on a vastu. You know, like the snake is dependent for its being on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
So... That which enjoys, sometimes you can say, that which enjoys a dependent reality means it has no being of its own. It's dependent on something else for its being. So this creation is mitya because it's totally dependent for its being on Brahman, on that which is sat. If I were to pull Brahman away out of it, there wouldn't be anything there. Like if I were to pull the rope away, there is no snake. It's totally 100% dependent for its being on that whatever the substratum is. what we call the Adhishtana, whatever the Adhishtana is. So here it says, so I'll tell you in half a verse what is told by crores of books. Brahman is the reality. Reality is that which exists in past, present, or future, that which cannot be negated in past, present, or future. The whole creation is mithya, dependent on Brahman for its reality. Okay. Jivaha, the jiva, Brahma eva, is Brahman alone. That's the understood. The jiva, Brahma eva. The jiva is Brahman alone. Na aparaha. Na aparaha, aparaha. Na aparaha, not different. Not another. The jiva is Brahman alone. Na aparaha. Not another.
I thought paraha means another. It's aparaha.
Aparaha.
I see.
No. Para can mean that too. But so this is apara, okay. Not another.
So this Brahma Satyam Jagannath, that was in Mandaka, right? It's a verse from an Upanishad. But is this, I'm just wondering if these two lines are from, isn't it?
No, Upanishad? I mean, there probably are places that say, I don't remember exactly where, but no, this is not
it's
from,
own.
This is its own verse. Brahma is Satyam, Jagannath is Mithya, Brahman is Satyam, the jagat, the creation, is mithya. The jiva is Brahman alone, not another, not other.
Can I ask you something related? On whenever we say the definition of satyam, you know, we always define it in terms of time, not past, present, future. But Brahman, we always say, is independent of space and time. But we never say satyam in terms of one that is everywhere. We only put it in terms of time, but not in terms of space, right?
We think it'll going to be in terms of everything. Because once you say that which cannot be negated in past, present, or future, that means it's free of time. If it's free of time, it's free of space. Right?
Yeah, I'm just curious because we always say Brahman is free.
No, but don't
free
you
of
also
time.
Say Desha, Kala,
Vastu, Aparicheda? That's another definition.
So that includes space.
Right, so I was just curious why Satyam is always, for the most part, we define it in terms of time. I wasn't sure if there's anything.
No. The thing is, if you define it as that which can never be negated.
So time. Sense.
Yeah. It can never, well, see, if you say that which can never be negated, then you can say that which can never at any time be negated. So maybe that which can never be negated, but can I negate it in the future? Could I negate it in the past? Can it ever be negated? No, it can never be negated. If you say it can never be negated, then it always is. Once you say it always is, it's not subject to time. If it's not subject to time, it doesn't exist within space. Even space can be negated. Space is negated in deep sleep. You can have a state where there is no space. But Brahman can never be negated at any time. Right? And so all of it will come.
Yeah. So where's this verse come from?
I don't know. It's just been handed down.
Okay.
It comes from somewhere, but I don't know where. Swamiji doesn't know where either.
That's why a deep sleep in a 5-star or in Motel 6 makes no difference.
You know, the deep sleep, they say the deep sleep of a king or the deep sleep of a beggar is still the same.
Yeah.
They use that in the Shastra.
And the apara here is, it's a short a?
Short a, yeah. Na aparaha. Let's chant it. Shlokar dhena pravakshami.
Shlokardhena pravakshami
yaruttam granthakotibhi
yaruttam granthakotibhi
brahmasatyam jagannithya
brahmasatyam jagannithya
jivo brahmaiva naparaha
jivo brahmaiva naparaha.
Okay. Good. Let's go to 65. This can actually be the kriya. Adhyaropa-pavadaha. Let me break the sandhi. Adhyaropa-pavadaha. Adhyaropa-pavadaha. So, adhyaropa-pavadaha. So, adhyaropa apavadaha. So, adhyaropa means the superimposition Adhyaropa, so if you see the first, go down to the first dot, Adhyaropa means superimposition. It really means Adhyaropa. Aropa means superimposition onto something. Adhi means onto something. So we just say superimposition. Sometimes we use the word Adhyaropa for superimposition. Sometimes we use the word Aropa. Adhyaropa is Aropaha. Adhyaropa means the superimposition on something, which we're not going to say that. We're just going to say superimposition. Aropa, Aropaha, means, again, superimposition. Adhyasaha also means superimposition. So we'll be using these. Adhyasa is the superimposition. So all of these words we'll be using, you know. And in some ways it have the same meaning, but Adhyaropa Apavada means, first of all, you unfold the superimposition, like the nature of Ishwara, for instance, the nature of the jiva. That's mitya, right? That's the maya upadi. You unfold the upadi. What is the upadi? What is the relationship of the jiva to Ishwara? Mm-hmm. So the body, mind, sense organs, the 19 components of the body, the Ishwara as the entire creation, the one who's omniscient, the one who's omnipotent, all of these things, the sarva-shakti-man, the sarva-vajnatvam, all of these things, sarva-vit. Sarva-shakti-man means omnipotent, all-powerful. You know, sarva-vajnatvam means omniscient, all-knower, the one who has all yeshas, Bhagavan, the six bhagas, the six wealths.
What are you talking about, Ishwara?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go on and on unfolding the nature of Ishwara. We're unfolding the nature of the Adhyaropa, the thing that is actually mitya, the thing that's superimposed. We go on making clear the nature of the jiva, which is Adhyaropa. It's superimposed upon the Brahman. But we have to know the nature of what is superimposed in order to differentiate it from the Adhishtana. I should have put Adhishtana down here. Let me just make a note. From the nature of that which is holding, the Adhishtana is that which is holding the superimposition. Right? Like the rope is the Adhishtana. The Adhishtana is this. That because of which there is a superimposition. Without the Adhishtana, there can't be a superimposition. So the Adhishtana is the truth of the superimposition. That which is the self, the being, that the superimposition that is necessary for there to be a superimposition. So the rope is the Adhishtana of the snake, for instance.
And you said unfolding the nature of the superimposition.
Yeah.
So what would that nature be?
Well, like if we're talking about the nature of the jiva, its 19 components, its relationship to Ishwara. Ishwara as the sarvajnatvam, sarvashaktiman, you know, the six bhagas, everything that there is to unfold that there is an Ishwara. Or that the jiva, what does the jiva do? It transmigrates. What is his relationship to Ishwara? All of these things. That's the Adhyaropa. So we have to unfold the Adhyaropa. And then what do we do with the Adhyaropa that's been unfolded? Negate it. Negate it. So that you recognize what negated in this sense. I take Ishwara to be the Sarva-Shaktiman. And to be omnipotent, omniscient. That Ishwara is this whole manifest creation. Ishwara is Brahman. That's like saying, I am the, say that Ishwara is the Maya Upadi is like saying, I am the Jiva. Right? If I say, I am this body, mind, sense organs, that then the Atma is superimposed on this. If all we think of Ishwara is the Maya Upadi without recognizing the self of Ishwara, right, then I am different from Ishwara. So what happens is we need to understand the nature of the jiva, the nature of Ishwara, and then we negate the difference between the jiva and Ishwara by the revelation, by the unfoldment of Brahman. That negating the reality of the upadi, right? The sarvajnatvam, the whole maya upadi, which is Ishwara, the jiva upadi, which is the individual. By negating the reality of that in the revelation that the self of the jiva is the self of Ishwara, that's the apavada, that's the negation.
Wow, that was beautiful.
So the Adhyaropa Apavada is the teaching methodology. But it's the overall, overarching teaching methodologies. It's not really fair to call it as a prakriya, even though it is, but it's exactly what the whole teaching does. The entire teaching of Vedanta, right, that is the Mahavakya Tattvamasi. In the Vakya Vritti, for those who remember, have gone through this with me, in the Vakya Vritti, that text, you have, it's an analysis of Tattvamasi. Tat is Ishvara, Tvam is the Jiva, Asi is the identity. So in the first verses of Vakya Vritti, the student says, how can I understand the Mahavakya, Tat, Tvam, Asi, if I don't know what Tat is, if I don't know what Tvam is? Please teach me what Tat, Tvam, what Tat is and what Tvam is, and then I can understand the identity. Right? This is exactly what it is. So now Tat has to be taught, Ishvara. Tvam has to be taught. And then how can the Tat, which is omniscient, Ishvara, which is omniscient and all-powerful, the whole Maya Upadi, be me, the Tvam, made of these 19 components? How can that be? How can this Ishvara be this Jiva? That's where the Apavada comes in. The negation comes in. You have to negate. It's called Bhagatyaga Lakshana. You have to negate that part. Maybe I'll... We did this Bhagatyaga Lakshana before.
Yeah, but it'd be good here.
You can look back and see it. I think I did all the Lakshanas, but let me just explain it. This is the Apavada. In the That Thou Art, the Ishvara and the Jiva, there are things that make me very distinct from Ishvara. Ishvara is omniscient. I have limited knowledge. Ishvara is all-powerful. I have limited power. Ishvara is the entire creation. I am a part, an individual within the entire creation. These are all differences, right? Ishvara is the whole. I'm part of the whole. But so these differences have to be negated, right? So that what is the same can be revealed. Because these differences are on the level of the upadi. My body, mind, sense organs are limited. Ishvara's is limitless. But the Atma, the self that I am, is the self that Ishvara is. So the Bhagatyaga Lakshana, the Lakshana is the teaching methodology that points to. The Lakshana is that the use of words to point to the nature of the identity of the Atma. Through the Bhagatyaga, the eliminatyaga means renunciation or the abandonment of a bhaga, of a part. So the abandoning the part, through the abandonment of a part, you recognize the identity. So what part is being abandoned? The upadi. The jiva upadi is being abandoned, is being given up. And the Ishvara upadi is being given up. And what is left is the Atma, is Brahman. So, say, if we use this Bhagatyaga Lakshana, that's the Apavada. You're negating the Upadis. That's the negation. So, say you have the wave ocean. The Bhagatyaga Lakshana would be what? Well, first, you have to tell what a wave is. You have to describe the wave. Then you have to describe the ocean. Then you have to reveal the water. And how do you show the identity between the wave and the ocean? The identity, the wave is part of the ocean, the wave is limited, the ocean is limitless. But you have to negate the upadi by revealing the self of the revealing the self of the wave, and then revealing the self of the ocean to recognize that water is water. Right? So tat tvamasi, you negate the upadi tvam. You negate the upadi tat, and you're left with the adhishtana, the truth of it, which is one atma. So, adhyaropa apavada. Adhyaropa is the making clear, the unfoldment of the mitya, jiva ishvara. The apavada is the bhagatyaga lakshana, which negates that mitya, revealing the Brahman. Okay. So that's a teaching methodology. So let's look at this. Adhyaropaha is aropaha, is adhyasaha, all means superimposition. Apavadaha means the negation. And I made a note there to take a look at Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Then I want you to look at these words. Sarpaha means snake. Rajuhu means rope. Vastu. And I'm going to add here, under Vastu, Adhishtana. Adhishtana, making a note to myself.
What's a Vastu for a snake rope? Is it the rope?
The rope.
Yeah.
The Vastu is, literally, the word Vastu means a thing. T-H-I-N-G. It means a thing. But there is no such thing as a thing upon analysis. Because any so-called thing is infinitely divisible into smaller things. There is no real thing. So the word Vastu resolves in Brahman, because Brahman is the only thing that there is in reality, because Brahman has no parts. It's not divisible into smaller things. So it's the Satchit itself that is, in fact, Vastu. So in the end, the only Vastu, the only thing that there is the non-dual Brahman. Okay, so we use Vastu for Brahman. Adhishtana, as I'll add here, Adhishtana again is that which is the reality of that which is because of which there can be mitya. In other words, without the Adhishtana, you can't have a superimposition. So that which allows for or holds the superimposition, if I can say like that. Okay? If you get rid of the Adhishtana, the superimposition has no. Can't be.
So the
basis, you can say. Yeah. The basis, the only thing wrong with basis, we use that. Sometimes we use basis and sometimes we use substratum. But then you think of two things, like something is resting on it.
Yeah.
So we can use those words, but you have to then talk about it like we're talking about now.
How about the truth of it?
You can say the truth of it, but you still have to unfold that.
So the snake is almost proof that there's a rope.
It's not. If you see a snake, it's just a snake to you. If it is an adhyaropa, then if I were to remove what is really the adhishtana, that snake would disappear because it can't have any being at all without the adhishtana. So you could say that which lends its being gives its being to the adhyaropa, to the mitya. Okay.
I'm running out of steam.
I know. So much. But we're going to do... Raju is rope. I'm going to read this sentence to you, the 66. Because I've given you all the vocabulary. Repeat after me. Asarpa bhutayam.
Asarpa bhutayam.
Rajau.
Rajau.
Do you see in the bottom line I've broken the sandhi?
Okay.
Sarpa aropavat.
Sarpa aropavat.
Vastuni.
Vastuni.
Avastu.
Avastu.
Aropaha.
Aropaha.
Adhyaropaha.
Adhyaropaha.
This is the definition of adhyaropa. Asarpa bhutayam rajau. Locatives, two locatives, reading backwards. On the rope, whose nature is not the snake. Asarpa. Whose bhuta, whose being, we just say whose nature, on the rope, whose nature is asarpa, not the snake. Okay, so asarpa bhutayam rajau. Sarpa aropavat, like the superimposition of a snake. Sarpa, snake, aropa, superimposition, but like. So reading backwards again. Like the superimposition of a snake, sarpa aropavat, like the superimposition of a snake, on the rope, which is not a snake, okay, whose nature is not a snake. That's the example. Vastuni, on the vastu, avastu aropaha, the superimposition of avastu, something which is not the vastu, on the vastu, right? Vastu, avastu. Aropaha. Do you see the sandhis there? Uh-huh. Vastuni, locative singular. Avastu, aropaha. So the aropa, the superimposition of a vastu, of what is not a vastu, on the vastu. So you can take it generally, the superimposition of a thing which is not the thing on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Adhyaropaha. That is adhyaropa. So this is a definition of adhyaropa. So like the superimposition of a rope, of a snake on a rope, which is not the rope, it is the superimposition of something which is not the vastu on a vastu. That is adhyaropaha. Everybody see? Good.
What a wonderful song.
Okay, let's take a minute to sit here. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.